There are millions of women in business that are crushing it. And I mean, seriously, crushing it. Some who you know and many who you've never even heard of. They're going to share how they did it so you can figure out how you can do it too. But here's the deal. It's not just about sales and selling. So I'm going to be bringing you the woo too. Get ready, get set, because it's almost go time for Women Crush Wednesday. Welcome back to another amazing episode of Sell or Die. I'm your host today for Women Crush Wednesday. I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. And you have made the right decision to push play because today is another amazing episode. And I'm so excited. All right. We have live in the studio, Emily Green. She's the founder and trainer at Free Will Animal Training. That's right. She owns an animal training business that she started out of sheer dedication, passion, and commitment. And I've known her since she's been doing this as a side hustle, okay? She started this while she had a full-time job and has ramped it up. She is an amazing success story, an amazing entrepreneur success story, and I am so excited to share her with you today. Now listen, she talks a little bit about dogs because, well, she owns a dog training company. But here's the deal. The techniques she talks about can be used with your customers, they can be used with your leadership style, they can be used with your kids, with your spouse. It's all about positive reinforcement. So I want you to pay close attention to what she's saying, because whether you like dogs or not, you need these techniques so you're not left out of in the customer's doghouse. I couldn't resist that one. All right, guys, it's time to get into it. It's time to sell or die. Let me tell you who Emily is, because you may not know her as well as I do, or even as well as our producer, Adam, does. All right. So Emily is a business owner. She's an entrepreneur and a passionate dog trainer. Her company is called Free Will Animal Training, and it's based in Charlotte. She's been professionally training for 7 years, training like all sorts of animals or dogs.
Mostly just dogs.
Okay, yeah. Cool. She specializes in helping dogs overcome fear, anxiety, and aggression. Ooh. And her business has been up and running for 4 years. I have a feeling that you've helped like hundreds and thousands.
Maybe even thousands of dogs.
Dogs, yeah. And dog owners. And I'm just excited to talk to you because I've watched you evolve and I've watched you start this business while you were doing other things. And we met, I hopefully remember me, but I was a client at the vet and you were working the front desk, and I secretly somehow found out like that you were training dogs, and I was like, whoa, but our dogs love her. We gotta work with her. And so I've watched you go from like doing this thing as your side hustle to creating this business.
Yeah.
So, wow. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah. And thank you for helping us find such an amazing producer as well for our team.
Of course. Yeah. Happy to help.
So Adam, our producer, is Emily's husband, and he's known here as Emily's husband.
Yes.
I love it. So yeah. Emily, okay, how did you do it? Like, you have this amazing, successful business now where we'll talk about what it's become, but how did you get started?
Yeah, that's a great question. So whenever I got into college, I was undecided. So I had no idea what I wanted to do. I actually thought about becoming an opera singer. I don't know why.
But can you sing?
I can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why. But there is just a piece of me that still remembered back when I was a kid. I loved animals, so I wanted to get into something animal related. Ended up taking this college course that was required for undecided majors, and it was like, find
like all of you undecided people go
right
here.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, it was like, you have to take this class.
Oh my God.
And we're gonna see what kind of major that you want to do in college. So I took a personality test, and it actually came up with three professions One of them was a dog trainer.
What?
And I said, I didn't even know people could do that. Like, I didn't know that I could work with animals, but just train them. Like, that sounds awesome. So I decided to do a project on it. And from then on, I was like, I'm doing dog training.
So you've loved dogs your whole life. You brought this in for show and tell. I love it.
I did.
This is a book. Here, you can show it off. This is a book that you got when you were how old?
This was, I probably got this whenever I was probably 5 or 6 years old.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
I've loved animals since even before that, and my parents wanted to encourage that as much as possible. And if you open it up, it's kind of tattered and torn because it's been a while, but you see there are some bent down pages. I don't know if you can see it from the camera, but
you guys, there's like folded pages all over this book
where I've chosen the dogs that I want. Yep, and I've given them names, and I've learned all about their temperaments and all kinds of stuff.
So. And she knows me so well that when I looked at the book this morning, I was like, "So where's the Cavalier page?" She's like, "All right, I already bookmarked that for you."
Yep.
I love it. So, hey, Wes, what's up? Good morning. Good morning. If you're here, say hey.
Hi.
I'm joined with the amazing Emily Green, and she is talking about entrepreneurship and starting a business and owning this amazing business here. So, okay, so you figured out a passion.
Yep.
And that you could get paid for it.
Yes.
And then what happened?
And then after that, I graduated college and immediately got into a dog training job, just, you know, starting up. And it was at PetSmart, so it was really low key. There wasn't a ton of like pressure on me. I was doing basic stuff. I was teaching group classes, and I loved it because I love animals, but I also really actually like people.
Ooh, that's rare.
That's super rare. You have to like people to be in sales. So
yeah,
I love people. So I ended up really enjoying that, and then kind of bounced around a little bit and was trying to figure out some other things, and ended up training somewhere else in South Charlotte, and then that closed. And I said, okay, well, you know, there's nowhere else I would want to work. Like, nobody in this city, to my knowledge, has the standards that I want to work. Like, I just don't want to work for people in Charlotte. So
yeah.
I was like, why not create my own business? I have the drive and the passion. So, and here we are.
So
4 years later.
How easy or not was that? Like, did you get funding? Were you doing it on the side? Like, how did you start it? And when did you know it was time to go like all in?
Right. Then that was the toughest part about starting it, because me and Amy, my business partner, I met her. She was actually my client at Zoom Room at the place I used to work at. And she saw my passion and wanted to help me. And so we talked about, you know, starting the business, and then we started it up and decided as a team that we were not going to do business loans. So
okay.
I had to work 2 jobs.
Ooh.
Yep. So I worked about 40 hours at the veterinary hospital that I met you at.
Yep.
And I was working probably 30 more hours in the evenings and on weekends.
Whoa.
For dog training. So yeah, it was a lot of strain on personal life and mental health and Adam, sorry. but I kept trucking and kept going because I knew that this is what I wanted and needed.
So when did you know it was time to quit your day job and make this your full thing?
Yeah, so whenever it started to get out of hand, in the sense of I started to get clients that were having to wait a month or two out. That's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
And I said to Amy, I said, you know, I think I can be sustainable financially now with just the one job. And actually, this year is the 1 year anniversary of having only one job.
Woo!
Woohoo! So,
and you can take vacations.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And that's the cool thing about being an entrepreneur, because you can kind of change your schedule to fit whatever you need personally and mentally. So that was really nice for me too.
And so what would you tell someone who has that passion, because that's probably a big key of this, and that dedication, but is like, ooh, I'm gonna have to work 2 jobs, like what could they do, or just suck it up?
A little bit of just suck it up, but a lot of it is focusing on your end goal. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of it is looking at your future and imagining what it could be and having all eyes set on that. Yeah, you're going to have some times where you're going to feel drained and not really wanting to go to work. Like, I had a lot of those days. not when I came to see you, but
obviously.
but you are going to have those days, and you have to be cognizant of that. But then focusing on that end goal will help you get there faster And that's what worked for me. And a lot of what I do too is just exude passion everywhere. So mm-hmm. that's how I sell. That's how I make friends. That's how I do what I do, because I live it and I breathe that passion for training dogs.
As the king of sales, I meet a lot of salespeople. And one major complaint that I have heard more now than ever is that selling has stopped being fun. You dread going on a sales call with a lead instead of feeling excited about it. You expect the worst when you see an email from one of your prospects or customers. And instead of feeling pumped about your product, you can't wait to get in the car and drive home. Is that you? Let's get rid of self-blame for just a second. It wasn't your fault that there's a myth that successful salespeople are born, not made. If your career in sales has stopped being fun, then you are responsible for redefining what that career looks like to you. You have to decide what you want to be and how you want to get there. I'm just offering you the tools to make it better and to make it happen. So why not try my 7-figure sales formula? I'm inviting you to give it a shot and make it count in your bank. Go to cgittimer.com, cgittimer.com, and I'll see you in September.
So you meet with people. I don't know your sales process, but like, is it scary to sell? Is it what's closing the sale like for you? Because a lot of entrepreneurs that I meet are amazing at their passion. And then it comes time to like actually ask for the order or the sale or the business. And it's like, ooh, sales are slimy. Right. But like, you need to sell money to survive.
Right.
So what's your mindset around it?
So with me, it was very difficult at first.
Yeah.
And I think at the very end, like I do go into homes and I talk to people about their dogs and their history and all that and what they want to accomplish. And so at the end of the consult, I would say, okay, here are the options. And that was always the hardest part for me as well. I think once you practice it enough and once you just do it mm-hmm. and you have some successes with it, I think that's where you start to become more comfortable with it. So you can't just magically be this great salesperson. You have to actually practice it and do it.
Chris says, hey, from the Gold Coast, Australia. Hello.
Ooh, hello.
If you need dog training over there, I'm sure Emily will fly over.
Oh, I totally will.
I love it. Okay, so how do you become more comfortable with it, though? Like, did you analyze what went well, what didn't go well? Like, what was your process to get really good at it?
Right. So with me, I wanted to first develop personally. I know that sounds a little bit weird, but
it doesn't.
So thinking about, okay, why am I afraid of selling? Like, why am I getting nervous whenever the topic of money comes in, mm-hmm. like comes up?
Yeah.
And really diving into that and the meaning of that. And, you know, and I've also majored in sociology. So there's a lot of like social constructs and things that you can think about when it comes to money. It's a very personal topic for people.
Yeah.
We need it to survive. So it was one of the things where I had to kind of analyze it and figure out what is making me feel like this and how can I make myself feel better about that.
Okay.
About selling.
Okay. And did like getting more and more sales help?
Absolutely. It's positive reinforcement, right? And that's how I train. So yeah. So as soon as I started to realize like, oh, if I say it in this certain way, that typically gets me a sale. Or, oh, if I do this certain method on like getting to that question of, hey, do you want to buy my services? That usually works. So figuring out what behaviors lead me to the best results is really what I've kind of gathered as well, as far as information. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's like behaviors and what kind of questions that you can ask and how you can guide the conversation.
Correct.
I love it. Okay. So let's talk about your positive reinforcement training, because I know it's different than, I don't know if any of you diehards out there use those ugly, horrible shock collars. So we won't go there on this podcast. Don't worry. But in case you're wondering, I'm against them.
No way.
I'm assuming you are too, based
on for sure.
Free will. Is that part of what's in your name?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so maybe you could talk about the style of training that you do, because I find that the lessons I've learned from you, I don't just use with the dogs. And I'm sorry, Gabrielle, if you're listening, but I may use it on parenting and other places in my life as well. And I think it could just be good for diehards to really understand some of the psychology behind it.
Right. And positive reinforcement is one of those things that has been around for a long time. As far as doing it with dogs, it's fairly new. Like, it started off in the 90s, and basically that was just feed your dog treats, and you know, that's what it was. It's come a long way as far as science goes. And with positive reinforcement, what it is taking whatever the dog is motivated by and using that to reinforce behaviors that we like to see.
So if you like replace dog in that sentence for customer.
Yes.
Even though this for like, sure. sounds crazy. Like you take it's whatever true. The customer yeah. is motivated by.
Yep.
And you do what?
And you reinforce it.
Ooh, I love this.
Yeah.
Okay, so anytime Emily is about to say dog, just think, like, you can do this with your dog, you can do this with your child, you can do this with your husband, and you can do this with customers, you can do this with anybody.
Right, and you can do it as you should do it as a leader, too, with your employees, yes. with people that are working for you, you should definitely use positive reinforcement.
So like, when I first got my dogs and they weren't yet potty trained, my grandma said, just get a newspaper, and I'm like, a newspaper? We don't even get the newspaper. Okay, she goes, and just like slap him with the newspaper. And I was like, I would never do that. And she's like, but that's what we've always done.
Right.
And I'm like, what? But how are they going to learn? And so you're saying like, you don't need to punish.
Right.
So like that, in my opinion, would be like a punishment where there's fear now instilled there. But you're saying is don't, how do you do that in like reality?
So not punishing, so focusing on setting the dog up for success.
Okay.
One, or setting the human up for success.
Yeah.
Number one, so putting them in an environment where they feel safe, where they feel appreciated, where they feel comfortable, and then taking that and seeing behaviors that you like, and then starting to say, hey, I like what you're doing there. Or, hey, here's a treat. Hey, here's a raise if you're talking about humans. Or let's have a pizza party because all of our employees are doing so well with sales. Like, that kind of stuff. Maybe not a pizza party. But so really putting that positive energy first and focusing on that and bringing that out more is kind of what the methodology
but
is.
But I know we have a lot of leaders who are sitting here thinking, well, I don't have time to only focus on like what they're doing right. Like when they mess up, I need them to fix it.
Right.
You know, so what do you do?
Right. And as far as fixing things that are happening that you don't like in the dog world, what we do is redirect and we teach an alternate behavior.
Okay. So tell us more.
Yeah. So redirecting, let's say that Charlie, your little cute little cavalier that I love, let's say that she's chewing on something. Let's say she's chewing on a chair. That is a behavior that we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is redirect her first. So just get her to come away from that. Like, we don't need you to do that right now. And then teaching her something different to do instead around the chair. So, and whenever you're talking about sales and doing this with people, I think that's also very true. So saying, hey, I didn't really like what you did there. Like, I don't think it worked, but let's try something else. Let's brainstorm. Let's figure out what we can do instead. So there's no need to yell or scream or get angry or anything like that.
Yeah.
If you work with that person or that dog, they're going to figure out pretty quickly what you do want. And that's going to be a much simpler and also just a more stress-free way of communicating.
I think also with that kind of communication, people are more open to hearing when you're not like, oh yes. my God, you did the total wrong thing. You effed up. Whereas you could just be like, okay, so this didn't work. Here's why. Let's talk about it. And here's what you could do instead.
Right. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And it's actually, I feel like it's a lot harder to do with humans. Even though we speak the same language and communicate, we're very complex as far as emotions and what we think and feel. With dogs, it's very easy. Just, okay, come over here. Let me redirect you real quick, and then let's teach something different.
You walked into our office the other day, and both dogs were barking at Erica, and you're like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, they want her bagel. They do this every morning. And you're like, wait, so they bark, and then she gives them the bagel. And there's no fault of Erica's, right?
Right.
And then so they realize that the barking leads to the bagel.
Yep.
So they're being positively reinforced. Every time they bark, they get the bagel. And right. I was like, yep, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Like for the past 90, 100, 150 days. Yep, that's right.
Yep.
And so we don't realize that because that was so eye-opening for me, right? We don't realize that we're cultivating these habits, whether it be with our kids where, you know, mommy, mommy, mommy. Yes, let me help you right now because you keep screaming mommy, you know, or whatever it may be in our life, like even like the customer that screams the loudest, are you serving them every time they scream the loudest? And is that the right thing to be doing? Or should you be paying attention to your, you know, more profit creating
right
things, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So I love the parallels between the positive reinforcement style and dog training? Are there other methods that you use?
Yes, there are a lot of different things I use. As far as methods go, they're all going to be pain-free, stress-free, force-free, blah, 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 all that stuff. but there are a lot of things that are also related to creating an energy or some kind of mentality. So, okay, so for instance, this is easier to explain it like this. Take an aggressive dog.
Okay.
So this dog is barking at other humans. Let's say that they really don't like men, which is really common. Sorry, men. So let's say this dog is barking at men. First, I want to figure out why. So was there a history with that? Was there something going on? And then I want to take that dog and I want to start to think about how I can change their mindset. So thinking that men are actually creating good things.
Yeah.
So that's where the positive reinforcement comes in. Oh, you see a man here, you get something awesome. Like here, you get a piece of cheese or hot dog or whatever. but we also use methods that don't involve treats. Like we also use something called desensitization. So just getting the dog out into that safe environment. So very far away from other men so that they can just observe and see that men aren't actually threatening or scary. That's a big part of the aggression training is actually kind of a more of a therapeutical approach to training and teaching dogs what to do around those triggers.
And how important, so like if someone wants to get good at like either training their dog or using these kinds of positive reinforcement things to, you know, be a leader in their community and at work and with their families, how important is their mindset around it? Like you said, there are days that like when you're working 70-hour weeks, like understandably you didn't always want to go into work,
right?
And so how could the dog pick up on that? And I'm curious because I'm of the full mindset that our customers can pick up on our energy and our emotions.
Sure.
And I would imagine dogs could even more so.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So in the sense of dog training, I do a lot of work, obviously, with, I don't actually train dogs, even though I'm a dog trainer. I train humans.
Yeah.
I'm the more appropriate title is human trainer that trains you to train your dog. But with that approach, I'm actually teaching the humans how to have that mindset.
Mm.
Yeah. So with that desensitization thing that I was talking about earlier with aggressive dogs, that's actually changing the mindset of being able to hold on to a leash of a dog and not feel anxious. Because every time that owner gets that leash in their hand, they feel already instantaneously, even if there's not a trigger around, they feel anxious because they're predicting that there will be a man that the dog will bark at.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of that with me, as far as like the going into work and not really feeling up for it and not really like wanting to do it, with that, I kind of attribute, and I've had to learn this over time, is kind of putting that emotional brain and that personal brain aside, like leaving it in the car before I even go into the house.
But how do you do that? I mean, everyone needs to do that, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. What helped me was realizing that customer does not give a shit about anything that is going on with your life at all.
That's right.
They don't care. I pretend to care.
No, I actually do care.
Yeah. And
but most customers probably do pretend to care.
Yeah. I mean, you were there for them. Like, you're selling something and they don't care about what you're feeling. So, and if I drive to my appointment and I have some time, maybe I'll do some breathing exercises, like that's really helped, or kind of just gearing myself up. And then once again, taking that personal brain, setting it aside, and then going in with a sales attitude, basically.
Yeah.
I told Adam this the other day, I actually had a really tough mental day like 2 weeks ago, and I had 5 appointments, I think, that day. And typically people would maybe cancel, like, oh, I'm not feeling it. Like, I just want to take a mental health day.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, that's a lot of money. Like, I really want to go.
Yeah.
So I ended up going and then selling almost like $3,000 worth of sales. Like, and because of that
because you
technique,
showed up.
And because I showed up. Yeah. And once I'm in it and once I've got that mindset, then it's so easy. But you have to get there and you have to practice and you have to really challenge yourself.
I would argue that, it's not so easy. It just feels so comfortable for you now that it's like second nature. But for so many entrepreneurs who are in their like first real year of like full-time business, like still that selling piece can be hard and the mentality around it can be hard. And even you salespeople, like I know there's a lot of you diehards listening thinking like, you already know everything and you don't need a tune-up on your attitude because you're on 100% perfect. But I challenge you to think about how often do you bring that energy of like, you know what? It's just a tough mental day. Like, how often do you bring that energy into the customer that you're working with? Like, when I used to sell Cutco knives back in the day, I would stack like 6 to 10 appointments in one day because I would do it all on Saturdays and Sundays and I'd want to sell as much as possible. And my boss would make me call him in between every single appointment because he was very methodical and if I didn't get the sale or I didn't sell the 8-piece set, because that was always my goal, at least the 8-piece set, you know, I would be upset with myself, like, oh, they didn't buy it and they could use it, right? And it's so helpful and it's the best knives on the planet, and even if they don't cook they need them because look at how cool they look on your kitchen counter. And like, I had all these reasons in my mind why, right, every single person on the planet needed these knives, right? And so even if he didn't want me to take that, if I lost a sale, that negative energy into the next appointment. And he would do all these things, like he would sing a song with me. I mean, they were like so corny and whatever, but like he'd be like, okay, I want you to go walk around the block now 2 times before you go into that appointment. And I would listen, like anything he told me to do, I would do because he was one of the top sellers, you know? And like, that's where I began to cultivate this mindset of like, okay, whatever, it's just like you said, like whatever you're feeling, the customer doesn't give a shit about, and they can sense it when you walk in. So can the dog, quite frankly.
Gosh, yes. Maybe even more so.
Yeah, I think dogs can sense it better than people.
For sure.
But I would imagine like that dog may not be as approachable to you or as friendly to you if they feel like something's wrong, or maybe they'll act different or whatever. And so you have to be even like doubly mindful of that.
Yeah. And and a lot of that is also like studying body language of dogs too, like just knowing how to approach them and all of that. And I think that's also true for humans as well. So if you're going in and you're kind of like scratching your head and you're covering your mouth and you have all these weird tics, and maybe that's just who you are, but those are also things that people notice and pick up on, maybe even subconsciously. I think I used to do that a lot whenever I was first starting off, because I was uncomfortable.
You were uncomfortable.
So that was another part of that personal development. Like, okay, I need to stand a certain way and I need to practice this, like talking in the mirror and and selling.
If you're trying to figure out like how to get better at this, one thing you might want to do is like just figure out 1 or 2 things you need to practice this week. Don't try to fix everything all at once that's so hard. Ugh. But like take 1 or 2 things. Like, okay, you have a nervous tic. Great. Figure out what that is and concentrate this week on doing something else instead, and standing in your power pose and, you know, that
creating
kind of
an alternate behavior.
Exactly.
Full circle.
I love that. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I was just thinking about like the different dog signs.
Okay.
Like the tail, it's so subtle.
Oh, yes.
But the fast wag and the slow wag and the up and down wag. And like, you guys, if you don't have dogs, you think I'm a nut. Or maybe you just think I'm a nut anyway, which is totally fine. But like, it's so subtle. And so how do you read those signs? And is there a way to study them? Because I think that humans have very similar things that are like also subtle that we need to be picking up on sales meetings.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, sometimes with humans, like since it's our language, we sometimes pick up on that stuff subconsciously, and we make assumptions about people. So with dogs, it's a completely different language. Like, this is their form of communication. So a lot of times with any subtle thing, like we're focusing on the tail, I'm looking at the tail, but I'm also looking at the rest of the dog's body.
Yeah.
So I'm also looking at the way it's looking at me, or the way it's not looking at me, or maybe what the eyes are doing, or if the dog is licking its lips, or if it's shaking, or, you know, I take everything contextually. And I think that's a big piece about human interactions as well, is figuring out, okay, they have that tic, but they still are exuding some kind of confidence, or they still are feeling comfortable. They just have this one thing that they're doing. So it's contextual. That is basically what I'm trying to say.
And like to pay attention to it.
Yeah. And that's,
you're very observant of it.
Right. Yeah. And you have to be observant, especially with dogs, but with people too. I walk into a house and I look at the dog and I look how they're communicating, but I also look at the house. Okay. So what, how can I connect with these people? I see like a picture of a band that I really like on the wall. So I'm going to comment on that. So you,
ooh,
yeah.
It's the same in sales. How ooh. Crazy is that?
Because I am selling, I guess.
Right. But no, you are also, selling yeah. all the time.
So I want to make a connection with that human, and that's a really cool way to sell as well. And I know Jeffrey has this thing where he likes to make people laugh, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I love that too. If I can make somebody laugh and create that vulnerability,
yes.
that's awesome.
I love that. Okay, so last question. When did you realize you were in sales?
That is so funny. So whenever I started,
yeah,
I really wasn't aware that I was in sales. I was like, I get to train dogs. This is awesome. Like, this is going to be such a cool job and I'm going to sound so cool. But but then I realized, crap, I have to actually reach out and yes. do things. and that was just one of those pieces where I was like, okay, well, I love this. And that was one of those humps that we talked about earlier of just like getting over that and you know, committing to it. But it definitely was a learning curve for me. So yeah, that
way to go.
Whenever I first started.
It. Yeah. I love it. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you for Thanks. Being on the show today. This was so awesome. And I'm sure it's going to be a huge inspiration to so many entrepreneurs who are thinking about or trying to quit their job or trying to start that business or in the middle of like realizing they're a salesperson. So way to go. Thank you, Thanks. Emily. This is Woman Crush Wednesday, but I'm reminding you to get out there and crush it every day.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.